book of Ezra continues the narrative of 2 Chronicles. The book of Ezra tells us about God fulfilling His promise in returning His people to the land after 70 years of captivity. So it's a post-captivity book. The book records two separate time periods following the 70-year captivity. Chapters 1 through 6 covers the first return of the Jews from captivity, and that was led by Zerubbabel. And that began with the edict of Cyrus of Persia, resulted in the rebuilding of the temple. Then in chapter 7 through 10, we see the story is picked up, but it's some 60 years later, and Ezra leads a second group back to Jerusalem. And again, the temple has been rebuilt, and Ezra's purpose was to restore the temple services, to restore worship. So his return was more spiritual in nature. Concerning Ezra, we read in verse 1 of chapter 7 that he is the son of Seraiah, a descendant of Hilkiah. And Hilkiah, if you remember, was the high priest who found a copy of the law of God during the reign of Josiah. In Ezra was a priest. He was a scribe. In verse 11 of chapter 7, we read about halfway down, Ezra, the priest and scribe. Verse 12, we see the same thing, Ezra, the priest, a scribe. And then we see it again in verse 21, Ezra, the priest, the scribe. A scribe was someone who was skilled in the law of God, one who read the law of God, one who explained the law of God to the people. Now, in the case of Ezra, we see in verse 11 again that he was a scribe of the words of the commandment of the Lord and of his statutes. In verse 12 and 21, we see that he's a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. So Ezra was skilled in reading the words of this book. He was skilled in reading the Word of God. Chapter 7, verse 6, we read that he was a ready. That means he was quick to receive and comprehend. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Ezra knew how to read this book, knew how to read the Word of God. You can know how to read, yet not know how to read this book, because you don't read this book like you read any other book. Most of God's people know how to read, but I don't believe that most of God's people know how to read this book. So again, we can know how to read and still not know how to read this book. We see this is brought out with the Pharisees. Jesus often asked this question to the Pharisees: have you not read? He used that question many times in the Gospels. Have you not read? It's an indictment of the Pharisees. It's a rebuke. He knew that they had read, but they didn't get out what was written. They knew how to read, but they didn't know how to read the Word of God. And that's why he asked over and over, have you not read? Knowing full well that they had, but they didn't understand. Or they missed some things. And it's unbelievable how much God's people miss reading the Word of God. That is, miss in the reading. Because you don't read this book like you read any other book. So Ezra was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. He was a man who had developed some good habits reading the law of God. Our subject tonight is the Ezra 7:10 principle. And that will be our text, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You'll never read a better book than this book. Never. But we can learn to read this book better. We can always learn to read this book better, more accurately. What we read here in our text is a personal commitment by Ezra to the Word of God, to what he had. He didn't have what we have. What we see here in Ezra 7, verse 10, is an established principle in concerning this book, concerning the reading of this book. So let's begin with the foundation of the principle. And this foundation, of course, is absolutely necessary if we are going to read this book how we ought to. Again, we see a personal commitment, Ezra 7, verse 10, to the Word of God. And it is a commitment based upon a fact, based upon a foundation. And that is, this is the Word of God. That's the foundation. This is the Word of God. You notice there in our text that it is referred to as the law of the Lord. It's His Word. It's His Word. That must grip our hearts. Everyone here would profess that, yes, this is the Word of God. We believe that. But has it gripped our hearts? Because until it grips our hearts, we'll read this book like we read any other book. But when this truth grips our heart, this is the Word of God that changes the way we approach this book. God has written a book, and this is it. God has written a book, and we have it right here. God is the author. This book is not the erring opinions and philosophies and reasonings and ideas of mortals. It is the Word of God. It is the writing of the living God. It is the expression of God that needs to get a hold of us. This is the expression of God. It is the manifestation and the communication and the revelation of the very thoughts of God. So we hold in our hands a book. A book that has been authored by God. Now we are told how He authored this book. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is said in 2 Peter 1:21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God put into their minds His thoughts, His ideas, guided their pens in writing down such. So what we have here is a dictation from God Himself, a message from God to us. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, beneficial. One will never be fully committed to studying this book as it needs to be studied until this truth is firmly in place. This is the Word of God. Being the Word of God, this is no ordinary book. It is called Holy Bible. Holy Bible. That's very significant. Romans 1:2, it is referred to as the Holy Scriptures. The word Bible and the word Scripture simply mean writing. It is the holy writing. And the word holy has three meanings. It refers to greatness. That's the root meaning. That is, it's writing set apart from that which is common. Writing set apart from that which is common. What that means is that it is in a class all by itself. It is above all other writings. It's beyond all other writings. It is unequaled. It is unmatched. It is superior to all other books. Oh, what a book. A holy Bible or holy writings. The word holy also refers to purity. They're pure words. That is undefiled. They're unblemished. Absolutely impeccable. Holy writings. The word holy refers to perfection. It's infallible. This is the Word of God. That truth must be firmly in place. That truth needs to be our, not just our theological conviction, it needs to be our life conviction and our life persuasion. And when it is, it will shape our approach to how we read this book. If that really gets a hold of us, it'll change. We will not approach this book like any other book. It's not any other book. And it's not to be approached. It's not to be read like you would read any other book. I read any other book, I skip over a lot of words. The tendency to just glance. I don't read the Word of God that way. This foundation, this is the Word of God, must be firmly in place. This is a unique book. As such, it's not to be treated as you would treat any other book. It's the Holy Bible, or Holy Writings. Beware of reducing Scripture, Holy Writings, to that which is common in any way. The way you read it, the way you handle it, beware of reducing it to that which is common. It is Holy Writings. Again, as we said last week, I love to read God's Word. It's my favorite thing to do. I love to study God's Word. I love to just hold God's Word, to just sit there and hold it. It's a special book. It's unique. So this extraordinary book requires an extraordinary approach. Again, this is the very Word of God. This must be our unwavering persuasion and conviction. And that is foundational to the way that we approach this book. Our approach to this book should be as the Word of God. Notice what it says here in Ezra 7:10. Ezra had prepared his heart. I pick up any other book, I don't prepare my heart to read it. But this book requires a prepared heart. Ezra prepared his heart. Think of that word, prepared. It means to take necessary and previous measures. It means we make ourselves ready. You don't just open this book. You make yourself ready to read it. And I promise you, if you make yourself ready before you open it, you'll get more out of it. I promise you that. Ezra prepared his heart. When you prepare, you take preliminary steps. Ezra took preliminary steps prior to opening, in his case, the law of God. For us, it's to take preliminary steps prior to opening this book. And it's also the attitude that we must maintain while reading this book. Prepared. So the heart must be brought into a condition to receive what is written. Not only to receive, but to welcome, to receive gladly the Word of God. So what does this mean? Ezra prepared his heart. Well, it means that we make sure that our heart is in a right relationship with God as we approach this book. That our heart is tender. That our heart is in a pliable state. And we must maintain that through our reading. And the deeper and stronger the conviction that this is the Word of God, the more prone we will be to prepare our heart as we approach it. Ezra had prepared his heart. That is indicative of reverence toward this book. It is indicative of awe toward this book. Again, go back to what it is. It's the Word of God. immediate effect should be reverence. If we really believe this is the Word of God, we handle this book with reverence. We open it with reverence. We read it with reverence. Psalm 119, 161, the psalmist said, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." Isaiah 66:2, we read of a contrite spirit that trembleth at the word of God. And the deeper and the stronger our conviction that this is the word of God, the more reverence we will have or this book. Ezra had prepared his heart. It is indicative of submission. It is a spirit of submission. It is the desire to be governed and molded and shaped by God's word. It is to approach the book with the intent to submit and to yield to whatever it says. Notice what it says here, Ezra 7:10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to do it. Submission. Ezra prepared his heart. It's indicative of seriousness. We ought to be very serious as we approach this book to read it. That is, very determined. We're going to read it correctly. Very deliberate in our reading. Very earnest. Persevering. It's opposed to just a casual reading, a lackadaisical reading, a superficial reading, reading in sort of an unthinking way. There are many books we can pick up and read in an unthinking way, just pass the time. I'm afraid many read the Bible that way as well. They don't think about what they see. The deeper and stronger our conviction that this is the Word of God, the more serious we will be in our approach. Ezra prepared his heart. I believe that's indicative of dependence upon God. God is the author. And the author of this book is willing to act as an interpreter. That's amazing. I don't have to think, well, I wonder what he meant. I can go to him and ask him. He's a willing interpreter. Depend upon him. When you open this book, depend upon Him. The psalmist again in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes." And he's talking with regard to God's Word. That needs to be our prayer every single time. Open my eyes. We need to be praying that as we read it. Open my eyes. I don't want to miss anything. That gets back to the seriousness. Don't want to miss a single word. Verse 27, Psalm 119, verse 34, verse 73, verse 125, verse 144, verse 169. He prays, "Give me understanding." And again, it's with regard to the Word of God. So this is God-reliant reading. Open the book, read it, rely upon God. Do not resign to reading God's book in human capacity. You don't have to do that, nor should you do that. God is our guide. God is our teacher. Again, with regard to the Word of God, Ezra had prepared his heart. That is indicative of desire. A desire to know what it says. And the stronger our desire to know what it says, the more serious we will be reading it. The Bible contains what God wants us to know. It doesn't contain everything about God. Contains everything He wants us to know about Him, though. Everything He wants us to know about life. And everything is for our spiritual benefit. Therefore, the Bible should be approached with passion, a longing, a desire to know what it says. A desire to learn what it says. A desire to see clearly the meaning of what it says. To understand, and yes, to do or to obey. It should be approached with the same spirit of Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, verse 9, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And as we approach the Word of God, that should be our prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak to me. So Ezra prepared his heart. The foundation is, this is the Word of God. That foundation shapes our approach to the book. Which brings us the intent. The intent. The very word prepared. You prepare to do something. You prepare for something. The very word implies an intent. The very word implies a purpose. So when you open this book, you are to do so with an intent. You are to do so with a purpose. I'm afraid many open the book, read the book with no intent, with no purpose. Their intent might be to read X amount of chapters in a day. Well, that's not a very good intent. Because you can read 50 chapters a day and not get a thing out of it. This intent is seen in our text, Ezra 7:10. Three times he uses that little word, "to." He prepared his heart to. Had an intent, had a purpose. To seek the law of the Lord. The next two is to do it. And then the third is to teach. It's basically this. His intent was to read and apply what he read to his life and even teach it to others, which again is part of applying. So Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to read. To read. To read is to draw from whatever is on a piece of paper. To draw from. When we read the Word of God, to apply is to make it a part of our life. That's how we're to read the Bible. We're to draw from it. Draw from what is written. And then apply it. Make it a part of our lives. So let's consider the reading. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The Hebrew is darash. It means to seek with care. It literally means to beat a path to, or to read over and over and over and over. So it has to do with our manner of reading. This seeking has to do with our manner of reading. The Bible is to be read. Deuteronomy 17 verses 18 through 20 makes that clear. And is to be read with a purpose. And you read Deuteronomy 17 verses 18 through 20 and you see, read it, that. In other words, you read it with this purpose to accomplish such and such. So the book is to be read. So what is it to read? Well, when you read, you observe words. When you read, you correctly put words together. When you read, you draw out, you extract what the writer intended. You handle the words in the way they were intended to be handled. It is not looking at the words and thinking our own thoughts. That's not reading. John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures. To search involves reading. You can't search this book without reading it. It's a higher level of reading. You can read it casually, but if you're going to search it, that's a higher level of reading. And you ought to want to search it because it's the Word of God. Getting back to that foundation. It means to seek and to look. That is this word search. To make thorough check. To examine. To inspect thoroughly. To scrutinize. That's how we're to read this book. It is something that requires labor. It is something that requires effort and diligence. We read in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seeking and searching involves reading. The Bereans, they search the scriptures daily. The implication is that they read continuously and with diligence and with thoroughness. They scrutinize the Word of God. Study the Word, we read in 2 Timothy 2:15. That is, give earnest attention to what you're reading, to what you're seeing. Earnestly consider. Research, examine, make inquiry. Reading. We read so that we can know what something says. And we read this book so we can know what it says. And we study so we can know what it means. You can know what it says without knowing what it means. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. But notice in verse 11, about halfway down, Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord. Why didn't it just say a scribe of the commandments of the Lord? He's a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord. He carefully observed the words. You don't skip a single word. You observe. That is, you're precise. You're careful. You're persistent in the observation of words. To observe is to take notice. It is to behold with attention. It is to focus upon, it is the focus and seeing things as they are. It is of the utmost importance that we see things as they are in the Word of God. It is this: look, look, look. Read a verse. Read a line. Look, look, look at the words. At the words. Seeing things as they are. Careful, relentless observation. It's God's book. There are no wasted words. You can pick up any other book, and I guarantee you there's wasted words. There's not a single wasted word in this book. It's God's book. It's God's word. There are no incidental words. There are no insignificant words. Observe every word. Every word. Now, we read horizontally. That's the way print usually is set horizontally. So we read our Bibles horizontally. But think about this. The Bible is vertical. It comes down from God to us. The Bible is vertical. We are to observe every word. When you read horizontally, there's several things. You can write a sentence and you could write the word "and" three times. 98% of people, when they read that, will just read "and" once. Their eyes are trained to just see one "and." And that's what happens when you read horizontally. You have you're prone to miss a word here and there. But you do a, say you're just going to read a verse. Take any verse, doesn't matter. You take every word of that verse and put it in a column, vertically. You won't miss a single word. Write down every word. Put it in a column, and then read it. You won't miss a word. Not one word. I've been reading the Bible that way for 40 years. My mind is trained where I can look at horizontal lines, but in my mind I can put it vertically. Because I've been doing it so long. And you don't miss words when you put it vertically. I challenge you to do it. I'm telling you, you'll observe more words. You'll be amazed. But as you make your vertical column, be careful. You might skip a word making your vertical column, reading it horizontally. Observe every word. Every word has a job function. Every word has a job to do. Observe every word. Give careful attention to words. Accurate observation is a learned skill. And it needs to be a skill that we have in the Word of God. We need to train ourselves to observe details. Because the smallest details, when it comes to the Word of God, can bring enormous meaning. Just noticing a word. Pay close attention. Pay close attention to pronouns. Pay close attention to when pronouns shift. Pay close attention to prepositions. There are prepositions of time, movement, places, so on. Pronouns, prepositions, those are small words. Pay attention to conjunctions. And. You need to train your eyes to see that word and. To be able to just pick it out. And. The word but. Or. Nor. For. So. Yet. All very small words that most people read over. Pay attention to all those conjunctions. Train your eyes to look for those words. They're important. Pay attention to words that are repeated. Pay attention to phrases, figures of speech, the comparisons, the contrasts, the cause and effect. Pay close attention to similarity. You know that little word as or so? There's a comparison. There's a similarity. Little word. Pay close attention to connecting words. Again, and. Furthermore. That means there's more. That's all that means. Furthermore, you see that word and it says, hey, there's more. Don't stop here. There's more. Furthermore. The word also. That means in addition. Another word that you ought to always look for and you ought to spot it immediately is that word then. Speaks of order. Speaks of time. Speaks of position, consequence. Another word, that. Speaks of purpose. The little word for, F-O-R, gives us a reason or grounds. The little word so states a reason, an aim, a purpose, or a result. The word but. On the other hand, the word though, the word therefore, the word wherefore. Look. Train your eyes to see these words in particular. They're very small words for the most part, but oh, how significant they are. And they are the words that most people read over, giving very little thought. So, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, or to read it, to draw from it. And he did this with a purpose, to do, to teach. So that brings us to the third thing, and that is the application. You do not read the Scriptures to win an argument. You do not read the Scriptures merely to prove a point. You read the Scriptures to apply it to yourself. That is to always be so. You see, God wrote a book not just merely to give us information, but to transform our hearts and to transform our lives. We are to apply it. We have to bring it into our lives. To apply is the act of putting to use what we read. It is the act of relating what is said to ourselves to our own circumstances, to our own condition. And it is putting into practice what God says. So this book is to be read to learn, yet not merely to learn, but to be lived. But to be lived. The goal of the book, the goal of reading the book, is conformity to it. That's the goal. That's the goal. Conformity. Again, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is profitable. And then he proceeded to mention for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. These are the functions of God's Word. We need to ask ourselves personal questions when we read. Apply to our heart. Questions that apply to our heart, questions that apply to our attitude, our manner of living, our circumstances. All applications should be specific to ourselves and not mere generalities. We need specific application. Therefore, we have to ask questions and we have to make honest examination. No need to ask a question if you're not going to answer it honestly. You have to ask questions, answer them honestly. Ask questions that causes you and I to see our spiritual condition and to see the direction of our life. Because of our depravity, we are very prone to make selective application. Beware of selective application. You're to apply the whole thing, whether you like it or not. And many times, it'll be painful. We need to ask, what is the truth? You read a verse, you read a line. What is the truth that I can rest in? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there a challenge for me to heed? Is there a promise for me to trust? Is there an example for me to follow? Is there an error for me to avoid? Is there a sin for me to forsake? Is there a warning that I should be taking heed to? Is there an attitude that I need to change or guard against? Is there an encouragement? And on and on and on you can go. But you have to ask these questions in order to make application. How am I going to respond to what I've just read? I've stated it over and over and over and over again. You don't use speed reading in the Word of God. It's not a race. Observe. Take your time. Observe the Word of God. Every time someone tells me, I've read the Bible through every year for 10 years, sometimes I ask, not often, I think it, what did you get out of it? Well, what do you mean? Well, I think that's a pretty obvious question. If I have to explain what I mean by that question, that pretty much answers the question. So again, let's read the text and we'll close. Ezra had prepared his heart. God help us to do that. To seek. Not just a casual reading. To seek the law of the Lord. And to do it. And to teach. What he's talking about there is application. Prepare. Read and apply. And the more convinced we are that this is the Word of God, the more we'll put into practice Ezra 7, verse 10. We've all had it happen. You give somebody a verse of Scripture, you tell them what the Bible says, and they'll say, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's what it says right here. But that statement tells you they don't believe this is the Word of God. They don't believe. That has not gripped their heart. This is the Word of God. Because as soon as they see something they don't like, that's your opinion. So they don't see it as the Word of God. So that's the foundation. That's the foundation. There's no need to debate truth with somebody who does not believe this is the Word of God. If this is the Word of God, then what I show you, you will believe, correct? If you believe it's the Word of God, that you won't have a problem believing what it says. When people want to argue the Word of God, I'm telling you, there's not a foundation that there needs to be. You read it, you believe it. Even if you don't understand it, you believe it. Because God said it. God help us. Again, we all know how to read. But all to know how to read this book. To know how to read this book. We taught a lengthy Sunday school series on the subject, perhaps too lengthy. But again, this is something that needs to be reviewed all the time. How to read the Word of God. Brother Tim, if you'd come and